And
yeah.
Going to a big store, a Target, a Costco, something like that. And what is already out that amazes you? Christmas stuff, okay? I mean, it was amazing, you know, it was like September or something. They're already starting with Christmas. And of course, the kids are all excited, you know, because it's toys and snow and days off and all that kind of stuff. So I started thinking, what's the big deal? So what's the big deal about Christmas? So as a Christian, what's the big deal? Okay, that's when we celebrate Jesus being born. Okay, so in way back when, what was the big deal to them? What were they doing? Because we know about the cross, and we know about his feeding of the 5,000 and his coming back again, and how Paul talked about him. What did Mary think? Okay, what was Elizabeth so excited about when she heard? What was John proclaiming before Jesus really had done anything? So for the next little while, I'm not going to do all of them until Christmas, but I'll probably do a bunch of them before Christmas. And just looking backwards, because we know the famous verse, probably the most famous, for God so loved that what? Very good. So if you are a non-believer, you didn't grow up in a Christian home, and you read that verse, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to you. Because it'll say, for God. Well, who was this God? A good God? A bad God? One of a million gods? Love. What does love look like? Well, what do you mean, his son? You mean, what is belief? What is, he doesn't want anyone to perish? Is that, you know, do you have to act a certain way? All that kind of stuff. So I want to just kind of go backwards a little bit. So we already looked at Luke for a long time in this church. And Luke started with Adam, going all the way back. Because that was for a Gentile church. So the Gentiles, they would want to know about Adam, going all the way back. How does this fit in with me? So if you're a good Jewish person, you care more about going back to Abraham, okay? Because we've heard so many times, I am the God of? Okay, very good. So if you start in Matthew, Matthew starts with Abraham in the genealogy because in their framework, oh, this is our God for our people and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to go back to Abraham. So now you have to start thinking, okay, so Abraham is in 12, Genesis 12. And all this stuff, you have to pretend for a minute, Abraham doesn't know any of that. Okay? So when he hears about God, when he sees God, when he believes in God, when he trusts in God, he doesn't have any of this. He doesn't know what the Ten Commandments are. He doesn't understand the Promised Land. He doesn't understand there's a Jesus. Okay? So he's got to start from scratch. Okay? So that's what we need to remember. All right. So we're going to go all the way back here to kind of the beginning. Now, it's Old Testament. So how do you read Old Testament? You have to think, why this story? Okay? Gives you a little bit of the story. Like you look at Judges. Samson gets a whole bunch of time. And then you'll have guys that get one sentence. Okay, well, why? Why do we care about Samson more? Why does God want to show us something through Samson? Okay? And then you want to ask the question, God's character. What are we learning about God's character? What it is, what it isn't, what he does, what he doesn't do. And then kind of the character in the main story, which will be Abraham and Sarah and those people. What are they doing? Are they doing good things? Are they doing bad things? Are they obeying? Are they being disobedient? Are they being faithful? Are they being idiots? Okay? So that's kind of how we want to walk through. Does that make sense? All right. So when we say, why these stories? So we start in chapter 12. And in Genesis, and if you look above that a little bit, you see genealogies, okay? And they'll say somebody lived for 30 years and he had another kid. And this kid had another kid who had another kid who had another kid. So you have to ask the question, what's the big deal about Abraham? Okay? So you have all his grands, moms and dads and all that, and they get three words. Okay? So there must be a big deal about Abraham. Okay? So it starts in 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot with him. Abraham was, how old was Abram? When he departed. Okay. How much do we know about the first 74 years? You know the names of his parents, and that's about it. Okay? Why do you think God said, I'm starting the story at 75? There's no right or wrong. We're just throwing stuff out there. Okay? So there's the idea of God's in control. This is when God showed up to him. Okay? Why else do you think? Excuse me? You're never too old. Very good. Can you imagine? I already asked permission. Okay? Being Ida and Richard. God comes to them. They've never had a kid. Obviously, they're in the grandparent stage and all that. Never had a kid. Never really understood who God is. And they say, hey, I want you to pick up and go east. Just go. Wouldn't you have a lot of questions in your head? Why me? Why now? How am I going to have a great nation? I'm 75. I'm sorry. I'm 75 and haven't had a kid. How am I going to have this great nation? Okay? But what does Abraham do? Or Abram at this point. What does Abram do? Okay? So, we start off, thumbs up, right? Abram, you're doing great. Takes him, takes his family, and they move on. They are obedient to God. Okay? Now you look at the character of God. Is God thinking about just Abram? Does God only care about this one dude? Okay, he says, who's going to be blessed because of this family? The whole world. Okay? So, these are the kind of things you want to think about. Who is our God? Our God cares about the whole world. Our God wants to bless the whole world. Our God speaks to individuals. He wants to be a part of your life. God doesn't care about your first 74 years. How about that? He cares about your 75th year when you get there. Okay? Are you going to be faithful at 75? You see how this is going? Okay, so that's kind of how we want to do it. Because eventually, when Jesus comes and is born, they're going to cry out, oh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are faithful. So what are they proclaiming? Why are they faithful? Why do they care? Why would three wise men travel around to see this birth? Obviously, they are seeing great things in the Old Testament. So we're going to try to discover a few of those things and get into their mindset. So when Christmas comes, we can be excited as well. Okay? All right, so far so good. Okay? He gets his family, he goes. Now, just a couple verses later, we'll see what happens. So go to 12:10. All right. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Okay? So, thumbs up for Abram, right? Okay? He said, I'm going to go and do what it is. You know, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to leave my country, my culture, all that, and I'm going to leave. And then a little crisis happens, right? Famine. I'm going to go to Egypt because they have food and a place and all that kind of stuff. So before he gets there, he goes, wow, my life, she's a looker. And that's kind of a problem. Okay? I need to scheme. So, what do we see about Abram's character? Okay. So, he, at this point, is a liar and a coward. Okay? Woo! That's my idol, right there, right? These are my grandparents, or whatever you want to call them. Okay? So, you have to say, okay, God, you waited 75 years to come into these people's lives. In the first sign of trouble, what do?
It was him.
It was him, right? Kind of the opposite of the garden. It was her, and now it's him. So the first sign of trouble, they want to lie, and fear is taking over. Okay? So you have to say why. Maybe it's because they don't know God yet. They don't understand that he's going to protect them. Maybe just reality is too much for them. But guess what? God still chooses them. Okay? How many of you are perfect? How many of you have ever been afraid? Okay? How many other Christians do you know that have lied? Yeah. Okay? But guess what? This is who God says, I'm going to do the greatest thing that's ever happened in the universe. And I'm going to start with the two of you, liars and cowards. And I'm going to wait until you're 70 years old to even start the process. Okay? Now, if you are going to start the greatest thing that has ever happened in the universe, would you start with 70-some-year-old liar and cowards?
Probably not.
Okay? But this is who God is. God says, I know what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I don't care what it looks like to everybody else, I got a plan. And there's good news and bad news. The bad news is you're going to use those kind of people, and the good news is you can use those kind of people. I can be used. I can be used when I'm 75, and later on they get older and older. And even when I'm scared, and I'm a coward, even if I get into a situation where I'm going to lie because I don't see a better way out of it, God's still going to be there as we continue on in the story. So starting in 16, and for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. That was the Pharaoh. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Okay? Because in God's plan, was Pharaoh going to be the father of the great nation? No. Abram was. Okay? So God says, sorry guys, I have to intervene because you guys are being idiots right now. So he goes in. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I may take her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent them away with his wife and all that he had. Okay, I don't know about you, but that would be a miracle. If you are Pharaoh and you just say, "Oh, just go away." I mean, we've heard about Pharaoh before and pharaohs before. Are they loving and forgiving and kind and generous? They weren't any of those kind of things. Okay? They weren't nice Jesus followers or anything like that. What should have happened is, because of this instance, I have the plague, whatever the plague was. I don't think he'd be too happy. But somehow, God communicated, used, whatever you want to say, God intervened. And he protected them, so they left. But not only did they leave, how did they leave? Okay. Yep. So we'll move on to 13. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. Now Abram was what? Very rich. Okay? So, did they deserve what God gave them? Mercy to get out of Egypt and to be rich. Okay? Were they faithful? Said, "Pharaoh, I know this God of the universe, and you can't touch my wife." Okay? Was he faithful like that? No. He was a lying coward. And Sarai went right along with her. Okay? But what was God's plan and what were God's promises? This is what I'm going to do. Okay? And now God is starting to prove himself also in their lives by rescuing them and by prospering them just like he said. Okay? So let's move on a little bit to 15. Okay? Obviously, this week you can go back and read all the other stories in between. He takes care of Lot. You have this idea of tithing coming in with good old Melchizedek. You can have a whole lot of fun of Jesus and Melchizedek comparing those two. So starting in 15, after these things, so the battle and all that kind of stuff, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram." Okay, why do you think he says fear not? Because he was a coward before, right? But he seemed to be doing good in the battle and all that. He says, "I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Okay? So he makes another promise. Who is going to take care of you? Who is going to protect you? Who is going to bless you? God's saying, that is the kind of God I am. Okay? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be your shield. I am going to see this promise through. But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." Okay? So, once again, how awesome is the faith of Abram right now? What is he saying? Thanks God that you're going to protect me, but remember this son thing and this family thing? Okay? Especially back then, it was even a bigger deal, you know, than today. He's like, but your promise was, I'm going to have a son. I'm going to be the grandfather to you, this great nation. But guess what? All these things have happened over time, and we're still at the same place. From Abram's perspective, not God's perspective. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as... So why do you think God put this story in? Why did he put this conversation in? Why do you think it's been preserved for thousands of years? So for a couple chapters, he's had this promise. And this promise is that you're going to have a son. You're going to have all these descendants. You know, sand of the sea, stars in the sky, and all this kind of stuff. So what made Abram righteous? Faith. Belief in God's promises. Belief that what God said is going to happen. Okay? Now, is that what the church preaches? No. I wouldn't say, you know, across the board or anything, but usually we talk about works. Right? Well, you know, gosh, I'm feeling a little guilty, so I need to pray a little more, put a little more on the plate, be nicer to my neighbor. That's what God really wants. How am I going to earn my way? How am I going to be righteous? How do I get right before God? How am I going to get into heaven? Okay. We've put a whole lot of stuff as human beings, as the church, all that kind of stuff. But way back when, before the Ten Commandments, before Jesus ever showed up, before the priests and the sacrifices and the Levites and all that kind of stuff, before communion, before the cross, how are you righteous? By faith. Okay? Now, get into Galatians. Paul is fighting the same exact argument. And he goes back and says, what about Abraham? He says, Abraham, how was he righteous? Okay, have you seen all these great deeds he has done? How faithful he was? How great he was? No. He was just an ordinary guy who God says, I want you. And I want you to do great things. And Abraham looked and he said, God, I believe you can do this. I believe you are great, you are powerful, you are all those things. And that's exactly the same thing as John 3:16. Exactly the same everything. What does God want from us? Believe that Jesus died. That I am a sinner, you are a holy, righteous God, and that he was my sacrifice. Same basic principles, all the way from way back when. Okay? You know, just kind of do this little comparison. You know, all that stuff. But somehow we take all this stuff and we want that to be bigger than simple faith. Okay? So when Jesus comes on Christmas Day, it was still about simple faith. It was the same kind of promises of, I want to be a blessing to the whole world. All the nations are going to be blessed. Abram, you were a piece of the puzzle that eventually got to Jesus. Who did all those things. And that promise took a long time to eventually get there. But it's true. You know, and you can take it that step farther like Paul does and say we're all children of Abraham because we are adopted. Because we are accepted, because we believe in the true God, that spiritually we're all sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham because of this simple faith. We're going to go on and look at some different people. Maybe we'll follow up a little more on Abraham and how he did. But that's the kind of stuff we just want to do. Like, what is the big deal about Christmas? The big deal was God was faithful. What he started way back when. And the beautiful thing is we can trust in the someday. as, wow, God was faithful to Abram when he really didn't understand. How can we be old? How can we have never have kids? And now you want to do this thing. He had fear. He had doubts. He didn't understand. How many of us have ever had fear and doubts and we don't understand the world we live in and the circumstances of our lives? But God was faithful to him. He'll be faithful to all those generations in between to get Jesus and all those generations from Jesus to us. And the beautiful thing is all those generations until he comes back again. And God's heart was the same from way back then. I want to bless the nations. I want to be your shield. I want to be your God. And all he's asking for us is simple faith. Let's start with simple faith, and then he can start working on our hearts. But are we righteous because of our deeds? No. Way back then, God said, this little tiny verse, that should be the verse we proclaim, is we are righteous because of our faith. Because God is the one who's doing everything. Just like at communion, it was Jesus who says, I'm doing everything. And he just says, remember me. Trust in me. Give your life to me. Amen?
Amen.
All right.